Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Zois Toiras Oila. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parshas Tzav. That year it was also Shabbos Hagadol, and it was the 12th day in the month of Nisan in the year Tav Shin Mem, 44 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in this week's Torah portion where it says, Zois Toiras Ha'Oila. This is the Torah of the Oila. Now, Oila literally means going up, ascending, but it's referring to the sacrifice which is totally consumed on high. And the verse continues on to say, He Ha'Oila, this is the carbon Oila, Al-Moikta that gets burnt, etc. That's the verse. And remember that it's known, the questions that are brought down in the Chassidic discourse in the previous Chabad Rebbeim, also specifically the Chassidic discourse with this title of Zois Toiras Ha'Oila of Shabbos Parshas Tzav in the year Tav Reish Ayin Ches. So over 100 years ago, 106 years ago. So he asks over there a question, why does the verse say Toiras Ha'Oila, the Torah of the Oila? In other words, the laws of the Oila was already spelled out before in Parshas Vayikra. And over here, we're just learning about the burning of the fats and the innards that you're able to burn it a whole night. So why is it called Toiras Ha'Oila, as if it's giving us the whole teachings about the Oila? Also, we have to understand, afterwards it says, He Ha'Oila. It says already Toiras Ha'Oila. It should have said Toiras Ha'Oila, and it should have gone on to Al-Moikta that it gets burnt. So again, two questions. One is, why does it say Toiras Ha'Oila when we already learned about the Oila before? And B, why does it say, repeat itself again and saying, He Ha'Oila, this is the Oila? Now, we know that when it comes to the Korban Ha'Oila, the sacrifice, the one that's called Oila, means which is totally consumed on high, that's the beginning of all the sacrifices. And we see literally that the sacrifice that was brought, carbon tummy, the one that's brought every single day, which was a carbon oila, that's the one that you brought first before you would bring any other sacrifices. So you see, in literally in a chronological order of the day, carbon oila is brought first. Now, the general idea of all the sacrifices, it comes from the word of carbon, which is krav, to come close to God. That's one idea. So when you bring a sacrifice, the idea of the sacrifice is to bring you closer to God. And the second idea is to make a dwelling place for Hashem down in this world. How does that happen? That happens through our spiritual work. What's our spiritual work? Like we know it says, Anin Avreisi L'Hashem Hashkoini. We were created to serve Hashem. And that's what he continues on to explain the Chassidic discourse. And he brings different opinions about our spiritual work, and there's a big debate whether our spiritual work that we do with learning Torah and doing the mitzvahs, and I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate, if it's Torah Kavoyah, are we doing it for Hashem or are we doing it for us? In other words, there's a debate. Well, in certain places it says, based on the verse in Psalms where it says, Imras Hashem Tzrufa, Magen Hu L'Chal HaChosim Bayi, that the words of Hashem of a sense of clarity, and it's a protection for those that cleave to it. And what does that mean? And the Medrash says as follows. Does God care whether we slaughter the animal, or we go ahead and we eat it? Or another opinion, whether we slaughter it from the neck, like you're supposed to, or from the back? Does God really care? But nevertheless, God gave us these commandments. Why did he give it to us? That he gave us the commandments to refine ourselves. So according to this opinion, the purpose of all the commandments are to transform us. That we should be obedient, we should listen, we should be respectful. It's to make us a little more refined. And different places it's brought down in different medrash that when we do the will of Hashem, we actually add power in our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, our efforts in doing the mitzvahs create a upgrade, so to speak, reality in God, and that's why it's called avodah. Our work is tzeirach avodah. It's for Hashem, so to speak. Hashem needs our efforts. So in other words, so what have we learned so far? That the whole purpose of the sacrifice is to bring us close to Hashem, to make a dwelling place for Hashem, like we're here to serve Hashem. And then the question is it there more to refine us, or is it there to create energy for Hashem? And he continues on the Chassidic discourse to explain as follows. It's brought down in the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbelezer that up until the world was created, what existed? Who? God. Ushmoy in his name. So the question Rabbi asks, one second. What does name have to do with Hashem before he created the world? And as what's the idea of a name? The name, you need a name for somebody else and someone has to call you. And those, if there was no one around, do you need your name? What do you need your name for? You need a name, so if you have many people there and someone wants to call you, he has a way to call you. Now, so before the world was created, Hashem existed. But his name also, what he needed a name for, if no one was there before the world was created. Now, even though it's brought down in many, many places, that the name of the person is not just to call you, but your name actually gives you energy, because the name draws down the soul into the body. So even in reference to this, the purpose is, again, it's for something else. Why is that? Because you have the soul and the body, so you have two different entities, so one needs the other, and when you bring the soul, so to speak, something else into the body, so then it gives its vitality. So even though the name gives it energy, it's because you have two different things, you have a soul and a body. But the body in its own doesn't need a name, and the soul doesn't need a name. So if that's the case, the question is, what's the purpose of the name when there is no other? When there's no other thing. So what does it mean when it says that before the world was created, Hashem and his name was the only thing that existed? So he brings two different ideas. The first idea is that before the world was created. Now what does it mean before the world was created? So referring to higher, I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate, higher than the world of Bria, the Klalut. So there's a specific world of Bria, and then there's the general world of Bria. So it's even higher than the world of Bria. And more than that, before the world was even Netzel, before it even came into any type of existence, which means it's higher than Atzilut. So when we say before the world was created, referring to either higher than the world of Bria, the Klalut, or even higher than the world of Atzilut. The second insight is, what does it mean before the world is created? It's referring to the world of Atzilus, which is higher than the world of Bri Yetziyasiyah, the specific worlds of Bri Yetziyasiyah. So that's the two different insights. What we're referring to when we say before the world is created, either higher than the world of Atzilus and Bri, the Klalus, or the higher than the world of Atzilus in Bepratius. What does that mean? Explaining this. According to the first insight, so what does it mean that it was before the world of Atzilus or Bria the Klalus? So what does it mean the name of Hashem existed before the world was created? So why does Hashem need a name there? And the answer is, since we're referring to before the world of Atzilus and Bria the Klalus, that means it's referring to the essence of Hashem. And since the essence of Hashem has everything, because if you're going to say that the essence of Hashem is only infinite and it has no influence on finite, I'm talking in the essence, so you say you're limiting Hashem. You're saying that he doesn't have finite. So obviously, in the essence of Hashem, there is a component of infinite and finite. Now, even though this applies more to the revealed part of Hashem, so to speak, but since we're saying before the world was created, so obviously it has some kind of connection to the world. That means, if you're saying before the world was created, that means there is some kind of connection to the world. It wasn't created yet. And over there, before the world was created, that means there's a possibility for a world. It wasn't created yet. That's where you have the idea of the name. And this name is the source of the creating of the world. And from there, the world is created. In other words, the general world of Bria, up until you have the lower level. So the first insight, what does it mean that the name existed before? So we're talking about, in the essence of Hashem, we obviously Hashem has everything, infinite and finite. But we're dealing with before it was created. It means, obviously, there's room for creation. It wasn't created yet. And that's what the name is. According to the second insight, that we said that what does it mean before the world was created, referring higher than the world of Atzilus. So what does it mean that Hashem was there with his name? Because Atzilus is the holy name of Hashem. And from there, you have the creation of the world of Bria through the different contractions. And like it's brought down many places in depth, the different ways it goes down from one world to the next world. Okay, so just to recap. So what is he saying when we say before the world is created? Either it's referring to the essence of Hashem on the highest level, but nevertheless, if before the world is created, it's different, there's some kind of connection to the world, or it's referring to the before Atzilus was created, and it's referring to the, and from there you have the creation of all the worlds. Now, so this is when we say that the spiritual service of, so to speak, doing for Hashem, Tzarech Gavoya, is referring to what does it mean we're doing for Hashem? We're doing for not Hashem himself, we're referring to the Shmoy, the name of himself. What does that mean? According to the first insight, what does that mean? That we go ahead and we learn Torah and we do a mitzvah. So we draw down the owner of the name, which is higher than the name, into the name. We bring, by us learning Torah and the mitzvahs, we bring the owner of the name into the name itself. And according to the second insight, so the world of Atzilus is connected to Yudkei Vavkei de la Tata, the lower level of Yudkei Vavkei. In other words, even though Yudkei Vavkei is referring to the essence of Hashem, but nevertheless, in the lower level, there is some component where what's important to Hashem is that we do the mitzvahs. And that's why the mitzvahs, what are the mitzvahs called? Mitzvahs Hashem, they're the mitzvahs of Hashem. Because they come down from the Yudkei Vavkei of Hashem. And like the Zohar says, that the mitzvahs are connected with the name of Yudkei Vavkei, just like, for example, you have like a tree and you have, let's say, a fruit that's hanging from the branch. That's the way the mitzvahs are connected to Hashem. And like he explains at length in many different places in the Zohar. So therefore, the Torah is also called the Torah of Hashem. Why is that? Because when a person learns Torah, and when a person does mitzvahs, we draw down from Yudkei Vavkei, the higher Yudkei Vavkei, in the lower level of Yudkei Vavkei. And like it's explained in the classical works of Avodas HaKodesh, that we bring in, we add light from the Yudkei Vavkei on high, into the Shem Elokim, and into the Shem Adonai. And like it says in the verse, V'ata now, Yiddol no koyach Adonai, we're picking up, we're elevating the name of Adonai. And like it says another verse, Tnu oyiz l'alakim, we give power to Shem Elokim. Now, so in other words, what do we see? That when we say that we're doing for Hashem, one is that we're bringing in on the highest level, we're bringing in from the owner of the name into the name, and then the second opinion is we're bringing in from the Yudkei Vavkei and high into the lower level Yudkei Vavkei into Shem Elokim and into Shem Adonai. And this when we say that that's ultimately Hashem. What does Hashem make the difference if you're slaughtering, you're not slaughtering, or you're slaughtering from the back or from the front? What is that referring to? That's referring to the owner of the name, which is higher than the name itself, because on that level, you're right, that doesn't make a difference. So on the lower level of shame, where it's connected to the worlds, yes, there is a difference. However, on the higher level, there really is no difference. And ultimately, from that level, we're doing it, so to speak, for ourselves. Now, based on this introduction, what do we see? That when we do our spiritual work down here, we learn Torah, we do mitzvahs, where does that reach? It reaches the name of Hashem. So based on this, we have to understand one second. It's brought down in the Medrash. The Medrash is something very powerful, and it's brought down in the Chassidic discourse. It says in the Torah, Vayachalim, and he dreamt, Vehine Sulam, and there was a ladder. So what? And what does it say in the Medrash? That Hashem showed Yaakov the officer of Bavel, and he showed him that he went up 70 levels, and of Madai, he showed him it went up 52 levels, and from Yavon, which is Greek, 180 levels, and it's explained that at length in Chassidic discourses the different levels, etc. But then, more specifically, then he showed him the kingdom of Edom, and it says it's going up, and he doesn't know how much it's going up. So Yaakov in his dream is seeing all these nations the way they're having all these elevations. So Yaakov got afraid. Oh my gosh, look at these elevations they're having. They're going to be elevate so high, when are they going to have their downfall? So Hashem tells Yaakov, Al tira abdi Yaakov. Yaakov, don't be afraid. Because even if he goes up, literally to me, to the highest level, I will bring him down. And like the verse says, Im tagbiya kanesher, if you'll elevate like an eagle, you'll soar on high, Mishamoy Rizchanum Hashem, Hashem is going to take you down from there. And that's also what it says in the Medrash. Hi ha'oila. This is the oila. What does that mean? When the verse says hi ha'oila, the Medrash says it's referring to what? The kingdom of Edom. which means it elevates it to the highest level of a nesher. And so what happens then is Al-Mikda is referring to the burning of the of Gehenim, purgatory. Like it says in the verse, you obviously it's gonna burn, consume it, it's gonna burn it up. So based on that, we have to understand, one second, how is it possible that Torah and mitzvahs, when you learn Torah and Torah mitzvot, we say it reaches the shame, the name. And the klipot go even higher and goes to Hashem, and Yaakov is afraid how high it's going. So what does that mean? So Rabbi explains this, and he says as follows. That even when we serve Hashem, there is the component of b'chol mo'idcha. Like we says in the Shema, b'chol lo'avcha with your heart, b'chol nashcha with your whole soul, b'chol mo'idcha with your whole might. What does mo'idcha mean? No limits. No limits. And it goes even higher than the level of the Torah of Hashem and even the mitzvah of Hashem. So through mo'idcha, we have the power to reach very, very high. How is that? Never explains like this. And he gives an introduction that we find when it comes to the spiritual ladder. What is a spiritual ladder? How do you climb the spiritual ladder? Through prayer. Through prayer, we have the power to climb the spiritual ladder. And like it's brought down in Tikkuni Zohar, and it says like this, I'll quote it, Sulam Dotzalaisa, that the ladder, that's prayer. And we know, when it comes to the ladder of prayer, there are four rungs on the ladder. Why are there four rungs in the ladder? Because it corresponds to the four world of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And explains in detail in the Siddur of the Arizal. In other words, when you pray, what's the first thing in prayer? The first thing is Hidayah. There's acceptance. Now acceptance, that corresponds to the lowest world, the world of Asiya. And like we see, what does the prayer say? Moida ani lafanecha. It's a general, I'm accepting. So the first thing I'm accepting, hoidu, like we said in the beginning of the prayers, hoidu Hashem, acceptance. And it was right when you get up, you don't know what level you're at. So you're basically accepting. And accepting, what does that mean you're accepting? You're accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then you come later on to more of a comprehension. And then you say again, hoidu Hashem. But whether it's Moida Ani right when you get up, or if it's later on after a little thought, and you come to Hoidul Hashem, it's still any type of Hoidoyah, any type of acceptance. What world does it correspond to? It corresponds to the world of Asiya. Afterwards, when you say the Pesuk in the Zimra, the different Psalms, so that's already more emotional. You're excited about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way all the creations praise Hashem. So that's the level of what? You're going out of the world of Asiya and you're going into the world of Yetzirah. Then we go further on in the prayer service and we do the blessing of the Shema. And then we do the prayer of the Shema. What is that? That's more intellectual comprehension. And that's already connected to the world of Bria. And afterwards, when you come to the Shemona Esrei, that's total acceptance. And that's the level of Ma'aydcha Natsila. So again, in the prayer, we start at acceptance as the world of Asiya. Praising Hashem is the world of Yetzirah. Comprehending and meditating on Hashem is the world of Bria. And then you come, B'chol Ma'aydcha, where you connect to the world of Atzilus. Now, even though when you say Shema, you say, B'hafta, I love Hashem, and you say, B'chol Ma'aydcha, my whole might. So what we just say, Ma'aydcha, is the world of Atzilus, and it's no limits. But the fact is, since Ma'aydcha comes in continuation, it's not standalone. It starts with B'chol Lavavcha, with your heart, and B'chol Nafshcha, and your intellect. And then you go to Ma'aydcha, so it doesn't take you off the charts. However, when you come to Shemoneh Esrei, and it's just Ma'aydcha, I mean, it's the total acceptance without comprehension. And like it's explained many, many places, the four different levels in the spiritual ladder of prayer, and the Rebbe says, he gives a reference and it's explained at length in the Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe Rashab in the year Tafrei Shayin Beis. Now, when a person goes from one level to the next in these four rungs in the ladder in prayer, then what happens when you reach so high, then you start bringing down the energy down into this world, because with the ladder it says, Oilim, you go up, and Yoridim, you go down. So you start off Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, the world of Atzilus, you get the peak, and then you bring down all this godly energy back into this world. Now, so that's in general, that's the four levels of prayer. However, in Mechol Mo'idcha, with your whole might, there's a component which is even higher than Mechol Mo'idcha of prayer. Why is that? Because the fact is, when you're praying, and even when you get to Shemoneh Esrei, and even as Mechol Mo'idcha, it's one of the rungs of the ladder, where it says, Oilim, you go up and you go down. But there's a level of mechoma oitcha that it's you going up and you keep on going up and there is no limit. What is that moitcha? I'm sure we all want to do that. That is learning Torah. Because learning Torah is actually higher than prayer. Why is that? Because prayer goes from one level to the next. Like he says, Haidoya, acceptance, praising Hashem, meditation, now mechoma oitcha, etc. But when you learn Torah, the minute you start learning Torah, you're connecting with Hashem Himself. You're connecting with the giver of the Torah. And as we know, Torah and Hashem and the Jewish people are all one. That's how we unite. So when we learn Torah, we literally connect to Hashem. And like the Rebbe brings to the Tanya of the Alter Rebbe, he explains, similar to this, by the spiritual work of someone that's a Baal Tshuva, someone that returns to Hashem. In other words, because the Baal Tshuva was on the lowest level, so the minute he goes up, he doesn't go from one level to the next. He goes right away into the level of this tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on the contrary, this tremendous love, he has that come from when he meditates how low he's fallen, how low he went. And as he thinks about how terrible it is, how bitter he is, that he forsook Hashem. And since, unfortunately, he's in a desert, a big desert, an awesome desert with snakes and scorpions, and he's the tremendous thirst. There's no water there. So what happens then is the Baal Tshuva goes straight to the highest level. So the Rebbe, the same idea works when you learn Torah. Because when you learn Torah, there's no limits. You connect with a Kadosh Baruch Hu right away, and it's even higher than the level of the Torah of Hashem. And when a person goes elevated to that level, then when you bring down godly energy into this world, you're bringing down what kind of also infinite godly energy. Now, we all know there's something which is called Zeh Le'uma Zeh Osa L'Kim. Hashem made this equal on the godly side, on the Klipa side. I don't know if you can possibly add, why did Hashem do this? So there should be freedom of choice. You can choose this path or that path. I mean, you have two choices. In other words, a dust like you have with all your might and holiness. Like we said before, through learning Torah, you can go straight, connect to Hashem on the highest level, or through Tshuva, you can connect on the highest level. The same applies, unfortunately, in the Klipot world. And that's why the Medrash said before that the Yaakov saw in the dream, Edom was going up, and he doesn't know how far it's going. However, the Rebbe says that elevation of Edom is only in the Chitzonius, on the external level. And like it says clearly, if you're going to elevate like an eagle, Hashem says, "Mishama Rizcha, I'm going to take you down from there." Why is that? Because the elevation, and this is very powerful, the purpose of the elevation is so to have the tremendous downfall. And the whole purpose that Hashem allows Edom to rise, b'chitzonius, externally, so that it should have a tremendous downfall. And just like we see, like the story in Purim, that with Haman, that she picked up, that Esther picked up Haman, tremendous, so he should have the tremendous downfall afterwards. And that's why it says, he ha'oila al-moikta. In other words, referring to that elevation, that it goes up, but it elevates itself, and it goes very, very high, but that's the cause of the moikta of going down. And that's, that it gives the fire to consume it. So you see, the Rebbe explains beautifully, Zois Torah Sa'ila. And it was through learning Torah, we have the greatest elevation. He Ayla, that elevation of Klipoit, it's a false elevation, and the purpose is Moikta to be consumed. And that's why King David said, who we know King David is called the one that sang all the praise of Hashem. What did he say in his prayers? Shafoi Chamos Chalagoyim, to send out your wrath on the nations of the world, that they don't know you. And And the nations that did not call the name of Hashem. Why is that? Because they wanted to consume Yaakov. And like it says before that in that prayer, that they Shamu was Yerushalayim Le'iyim. They took Jerusalem, the holy city of Jerusalem, and they ruined it. In other words, what does that mean? Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, referring to the high level of awe of Hashem, the ultimate, the completion of being in awe of Hashem. What did they do? They created the opposite of building. In other words, they made Iyim, they destroyed it. And that's the whole idea of exile that we're in. And especially now, when in the end of exile, when we're on the heels of Mashiach coming, so what do we say? That the reason why there's an elevation in the opposite of holiness is for their downfall. So that the verse can be fulfilled, Shafoi Chamascha, Hashem can lash out his wrath. up to like it says in the end of the verse, "Va'nachnu amcha v'tsoymar yisecha," we're your nation, we're your flock. "Noida l'chol olam," will always be grateful to you and acknowledge you forever and ever. We'll speak about your praise because our praise is going to be forever and in an everlasting way. And the same thing should apply to us, that when we say "Shafoi chamoscha," that the wrath of Hashem should be spilled out. It continue on to what we say at the end of Agada. What does it say at the end of Agada? Lashana haba. The next year we're going to be in Jerusalem. And there brings a powerful teaching of the Friedrich Rebbe that says that we're saying that what next year we should be in Jerusalem. So Friedrich Rebbe says that when you're now in Jerusalem, so automatically next year you're in Jerusalem. And like Rashi said, it says Hashem Ashba, the sun is coming. What does that mean? It already came. It's here. And especially, how is it here? Because we know all the revelations which are going to be like Mashiach comes is dependent on our actions in Galus. So we're doing now, we are creating our Yerushalayim. Because when we're doing our Avodah in Galus, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs and praying, we're creating our future. And what does that mean? Rebbe explains, based on what is brought down in the Medrash, that does Hashem really care if we slaughter the animal, or if we just kill the animal, or we eat it from the front or the back? What does that mean? Because ultimately, Hashem only cares about one thing, except for Hashem. It's He gave us the mitzvahs to refine us. So what do we see from there? From even on the level where, so to speak, Hashem doesn't care, but what does He care about? He does care about us being transformed. And how we get transformed, Hashem doesn't care we get transformed. And like it's brought down in reference when someone's in business, that why is somebody in business? The reason why you're in business is to make a profit. What you do for business, obviously legal, ethical, etc. But what you do, that's not the important part. The goal is the profit you're trying to make. And what does that mean practically? Because since the Jewish people and Hashem, through learning Torah, we become one. In other words, through Torah, we unite and we transform and we refine and we unify with Hashem up to the level of the people that are just called just Jewish, you know, just simple people. We're one with Hashem, and up to the point that the Jewish people and Hashem and Torah are all one. And when we do our spiritual work of learning Torah, connecting to Hashem b'chol ma'idcha, will fulfill the promise of what it says, that just like in the days of going out of Egypt, we saw wonders and miracles. So the same thing happens when Mashiach comes, that the wonders are going to be in comparison to the wonders when we went out of Egypt. And because this going out of exile is going to be everlasting, it's going to be a redemption. But after this redemption, we're not going to be in exile anymore. We're going to be above any limits of time and also any limits of space. And if you know that everything is going to break loose, ufaratza, everything, all the borders are going to totally be infinite. And when is that going to happen? But bias Mashiach tzidkenu, when the Mashiach, our righteous Mashiach, is going to arrive, and the Gemara finishes up so beautifully and powerfully, b'mheira b'yameinu mamash, it should happen very, very, very soon and very, very quickly. So you have a beautiful Chassidic discourse that explains the whole idea of Torah Sa'ila, that through learning Torah, we can reach the highest places. And here, you see some of these people that get elevated, just know it's external, and eventually it's going to fall apart. So let's hope and pray we learn Torah, like there says, and we'll merit for the coming of Mashiach. Our next class will be Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.